The younger men should treat the older men as fathers, fathers who have a voice and should be able to speak into your life. And when that's going on, when all the teaching is not just going on up here, but it's happening at home and it's happening in the church family, then that's healthy. And not only then to share with those within the church family, but then to those in the world. The world is going to hell in a handbasket. There is a pandemic that is truly deadly. It has a 100% mortality rate. It's called sin. And you have a cure that actually works. The gospel. Yeah, I'll say a couple more things, but while I'm doing that, why don't you turn to Hebrews chapter 5. We're going to be in Hebrews chapter 5 today. And I went to Calvary Chapel Bible College, and I'm so glad I did. I'm so thankful that I took that time to spend that separated time away with the Lord. And Bible College is a great place to meet a wife. They call it Calvary Chapel Bridal College. Ring by spring or your money back. You know, and I had no idea that the Lord would lead me to marry a Canadian girl from Vernon, British Columbia, wherever that is, and being from Miami, and got married, and we moved here. But I do remember meeting Pastor Brent. We were engaged at that point. I was serving at the school, interning, and I met all these Canadian pastors at that point. You know, I kind of knew that I was moving to Canada, so it was like, all right, you should meet some of these Canadian pastors and get to know them. And I met a group of them, but Pastor Brent was the most ridiculous one of them all. He was still immature back then. You know what he said? He was like, dude, what? You're getting married, man? That's awesome. He's like, where are you going for your honeymoon? I was like, Mexico. He's like, can I come? And I was like, no. Like, I just met him. Like, this is just us introducing ourselves to each other. But over the years, he's grown on me, sort of. And Pastor Brent's a good friend of mine. And someone that I've gone to for advice for things. And someone I really appreciate and honor. And I'm so thankful to be here with y'all today. And so, yeah, we're in Hebrews chapter 5. We're beginning at verse 7, and the Word of God says, speaking of Jesus, it says, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with vehement cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death, and was heard because of his godly fear, though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. Called by God as high priest, according to the order of Melchizedek, of whom we have much to say and hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Will you pray with me? Lord, we thank you so much for your word. Thank you for everyone who's in here and the place that they are in their faith, and your desire, Lord, to see us grow spiritually and into all that you would have for us. Thank you that you're a good shepherd and a good father that leads and guides us. And I pray, Lord, that everything that you would desire to accomplish today in the time that we have in your word, that you would accomplish it by your spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. One of the things that is true about our physical life as well as our spiritual life is that if we are healthy, we should be growing. healthy things grow. And we all in life start off as babies. And baby life is cute. But we're not meant to stay there. Now, again, babies are awesome. There's nothing like seeing a loved one, a newborn baby, holding them. You know, you just kind of hold them, smell the top of their heads, just the freshness of new life. But at the same time, as much as we love this baby, there's this full expectation that they're not going to stay the same size. There's this also this expectation, often coupled with fervent prayer, that they won't always act the same way either. There's this expectation that they would grow up. There's this expectation that they would stop sucking their thumb. There's an expectation that they would stop drinking milk out of a bottle. There's this expectation that they would stop going to the bathroom in their pants, and that they would get a job, and that they would leave the house, and that they would get a job, and that they would leave the house, and that they would stop going to the bathroom in their pants. You know, these are all expectations we have. And why? Because it's supposed to happen in a life that's healthy. There's a maturing of thinking, of speech, of behavior, of strength. And at the same, and the same thing is true spiritually speaking. We know that when we come to Christ, we're new believers, we're born again. We're made new. And in the same way that we mature naturally, we're also to mature spiritually. Albeit some of us might mature faster and quicker than others, but all of us should be growing up into maturity as Christians. From the moment we give our lives to Christ, we are thrust into this process where God the Father wants to transform us to be more made into the image of His Son. 2 Corinthians 3:18 puts it this way, "But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord." Again, as Christians, we're to be maturing as we walk with Him. If not, well, then something is terribly wrong. It would be like a full-grown adult drinking out of a bottle, wearing diapers, and whining every time he doesn't get what he wanted. And I think we can all agree that's not a good look. It's beautiful in a baby. It's like, man, this is cute. But not forever. And that's the danger that the Hebrews are in. The writer is warning them clearly about their spiritual immaturity. We don't want to be, spiritually speaking, babies forever. Spiritual maturity is so vital in the life of a believer. And so if you're taking notes, we're going to go over 4 baby behaviors that we must grow out of. And these baby behaviors, again, are true of physical babies and spiritual babies. And again, as I've mentioned before, there's a time to be a baby. There's a sweetness to that time. I watch videos of my kids. I have 2 of them. They're 9 and 6. And I enjoy seeing baby videos of them, or when they're just first starting to learn how to walk or talk, and just the innocence of that. And so there's a time when you're a new believer that it's expected that you would have this baby phase. And that baby phase is awesome. I love meeting a new believer. Their passion, their zeal, this almost recklessness about their faith. You know, it's like they're ready to storm the gates of hell with a water pistol. It's like, come on, send me. I'm the one. And it's easy. And it's like, no, it's not. It's hard. Faith, this whole faith thing, but you'll figure that out soon enough. So as I'm going through these, if you're a new believer, please, I'm not picking on you. There's a time to grow. And if you're a mature believer, as I go through these behaviors, I pray that you would really consider them humbly and ask about your spiritual journey. And if there's any of these things that are true of your walk, and if that's the case, that you would listen, be convicted, and be encouraged to move forward. The process of making you like Jesus, that's called sanctification, and it's a promise that God promises to complete in your life. And that's such good news for us. And I just hope the Word of God encourages you as it has me. We're all in a journey. We're all growing. But at the same time, yes, that it would be a comfort and an encouragement, but that the Word of God would also bring correction, because baby behaviors are not a good look forever. Amen? All right, the first baby behavior. Babies don't obey. Babies don't obey. And the reason why babies don't obey is because they don't know what it means to deny themselves yet. All they know is what their instincts, or might I say their flesh, desires. They don't know what's best for them yet. And so we as parents have to teach them obedience. But when we say no, or when we say go, babies don't yet know how to say, okay, I know who's the authority that God's placed in my life. I know that they're wiser than I am. And so I know, and I'm going to do what dad or mom says, because they know what's best for me. Of course they don't do that, but they have to learn that. And the example that the Hebrews are given, the positive example of obedience and denial of self, is in the example of Jesus. In verses 7 to 8, it says, who, again, in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with vehement cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death, and was heard because of his godly fear, though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And what I believe this scripture is referring to clearly is the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus, on the night before his crucifixion, he's praying in the garden there. The Bible says in the book of Luke, who, by the way, was a doctor, says that he was in agony to the point where his sweat became like drops of blood in anticipation for what he was about to experience for us. And in that prayer in the garden, we learned something from Jesus. If we would listen closely to his prayer, he says, Father, if it is your will, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. These verses in Hebrews here say that it was by his suffering that he learned obedience. Now, of course, it doesn't mean that Jesus was ever disobedient. We know that he was perfect and he was sinless. But it's saying that as a man, he learned by experience what it meant to be obedient, to the point of denial of self. You see, Jesus, when he tells us in order to follow him, he says this in Matthew 16, 24, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. And Jesus gave us this example in the prayer in the garden. My Bible college professor, Dave Shirley, he said this to me. He said, in order to crucify your flesh, you're first going to have to learn to crucify your will. Babies don't do that. They don't know how to deny themselves fully. And this is how it often plays out. You know, if you're just like, what are you talking about, Marcus? This is how it played out in my life. You know, when I first became a believer, I became a believer as a teenager. And God kind of really miraculously just one day to another, I was passionately saved, excited about what Jesus was doing in my life, kind of like Paul, kind of knocked off my horse and like, whoa, okay, God's alive, real. I need to tell all my friends about it. And as I was growing as a new believer, God was opening a lot of doors for me. Lots of answers to my prayers were being answered, yes. And it's just kind of like wind is blowing in my spiritual sails, and I'm amazed by what God is doing in my life. But then I remember very clearly the first time God gave me like a big no. Like I was praying for something for a long time, really desiring it. And God said, no, this is not what I have for you, son. And I was angry. I pouted like a baby. I was like, Lord, you are doing exceedingly abundantly below all that I can ask or imagine. Like, what are you doing in my life? And I had to finally learn how to stop pouting. How to stop and say, okay, I guess this is not your will. This is my will, but it's not your will. And so instead of whining, I started to learn having to learn how to thank him for what he was doing rather than complaining about what he wasn't doing. It's like, okay, Lord, you've closed this door, but I'm going to be thankful for the doors you are opening and the opportunities you are giving me and the people I do have in my life. And you know what happened? As I began to thank him, my heart began to change. I began to live in obedience in that room he had me in and came to later to find out that the doors he was closing for me were for my own protection, for things I could not possibly see were ahead. And so I started to learn obedience. Often would mean that I would have to say, okay, not my will be done, your will be done. And my prayer life changed. Babies are not obedient, but as you grow in the Lord, you are more and more ready to let go of your will, even if it costs you suffering for a time, in order to follow him. That's a mark of spiritual maturity when you're obedient to the point of denying self. So that's the first mark. We don't want to be disobedient. All right, the second baby behavior that we want to avoid. Babies are lazy hearers. And if you have young kids, you know what I'm talking about. You know, like if they're really upset and they start to convulse, like, you know, and you're just like trying to get in their face and just like, hey, look at me in the eyes. I'm trying to talk to you. And like if they actually do look at you, you have like a couple of moments to like get across the message that you're trying to tell them. And then they're not hearing you anymore. And that's what's happening to these Hebrews. And if you look at that in verse 11, it says, of whom we have much to say and hard to explain since you've become dull of hearing. The word dull here has to do with laziness. They're lazy in their hearing. They're not listening. And what they're not listening to is vital. They're not listening to the word of God. And that happens with kids all the time. From time to time at Lakeside Calvary Chapel, we have a pretty big kids ministry. There's about 30 kids, and we're so thankful for what God's doing there. But on the first Sunday of every month, we have a family service where the kids join us for service. And one of the things we have to do is, for the young kids, we have to kind of give them crayons and give them like an activity sheet to follow along with the message. And we have to entertain them because, why? They have short attention spans. They don't want to hear me and my three-hour sermons. Like you guys are going to get right now because you're the last service. You're allowed. Wow, that's gracious. Wow. Most of them. Get them. They'd just be like, you know, the kids would just be like, when is this going to end? Like some of you are. But a mark of immaturity in a believer's life is when they're lazy with the word of God and they want to be spoon-fed. They have no responsibility unto themselves of feeding themselves. They don't have time to actually get in this word by themselves. No appetite for the word of God. A spiritually immature person who's not willing to put in any effort into learning God's word. They believe that the complete responsibility for learning their Bibles completely relies on the teacher and has nothing to do with them. And so if they're not careful, they come to a place like this, they cross their arms, and they say, all right, pastor, feed me. Or maybe worse than that, entertain me. And there are people who will spend their whole life going from church to church to church, completely disappointed until it may dawn on them that they play themselves a vital role in their own growth in the Word of God. So there's this recognition that, yes, pastors have something to bring to this, but then also the listener has something to bring to this. And the fact that, you know, if you haven't learned something after years of being a Christian, it isn't the sole responsibility of the preacher. Now, to be fair, there are dull preachers, but Pastor Brent is not one of them. Actually, for real, he's not. He's a good Bible teacher. Amen. And you should be thankful for that. Pastors are responsible for teaching the word of God, and there's a responsibility on our part, no doubt, but then there's also a responsibility on the part of the listener, and where the danger lies in other places. And this is such a sad reality in the life of the church, this church of the last days, is if pastors begin to run into just a few people as they're teaching the word, and they're not listening. These people are not listening. They're not enduring in the word of God. And they might take it as their fault. And what they fall into is, well, I will do whatever I can to keep this unmotivated, dull listener's attention. And instead of teaching the word, I'm going to begin tickling their ears and entertaining them. And then they resort to all kinds of crazy things. And I can make something clear to you boldly with Brent as my friend. I can say confidently on his behalf and the rest of the men who teach the Bible here, they are not here to entertain you. You're blessed because you have a pastor who's committed to feeding the flock faithfully for years. He keeps going. And it's a mark of immaturity if you cannot sit and hear the word of God, if you're dull of hearing. Now, we're going to get more on this point. There's something interesting in the verse here. Verse 11 says, you have become dull of hearing. Become. It's interesting because it seems like they may have started in a place that they weren't dull, and then they became dull later. A baby often begins life with a healthy appetite, and they want to eat a lot. For our more mature believers in here, and this is again for me too, was there a time in your life when you hungered for the word of God more than you do now? When you would wake up and say, Lord, I really want to hear from you. I need to get some direction. I want to hear your voice. I want to obey you. I want to know the direction for my life. What is your spiritual condition right now? Because this verse, it's a warning. It says they're becoming dull. There's spiritual regression. They're going backwards. And I'm not asking you about your bumper stickers or your coffee cups or your welcome mats and your frames that have Bible verses on them. And those are all beautiful things. But where are you with Jesus? Where are you in your relationship to the Holy Spirit and your willingness and your desire to take heed to what he's teaching you? To spend time looking at him in his face, to get alone with him, to listen to the word of God and to listen closely what he has to say and to obey him. Babies are lazy hearers, but as we grow more into maturity, we'll want to hear from him. Third baby behavior is that babies don't know how to share. And again, parents with younger kids are probably thinking, amen. Yeah, that's true, unfortunately. Sharing is something that just doesn't come natural. And it seems almost to be a major season in the maturing of a child's life, right around like 3, 4, 5, 6 years old. It's just like learning to share your things. And the same thing can be said of spiritual babies. Look at what it says in the first part of Hebrews 5:12. It says, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you should be sharing, you need someone to teach you. Again, the first principles. He says you ought to be teachers by now, but instead of being teachers, Christians who are able to share with others, you need someone to teach you again the elementary principles of the oracles of God. And now he's not saying by this that all of you need to be a pastor or teachers at a pulpit. I wouldn't recommend that. But as you mature as believers, you should be able to share your faith and disciple others in their faith. He's called all of us to make disciples, and we should grow enough that we should be able to pass on biblical truth to others and know how to rightly divide the word of truth. Titus talks about the mark of this or the example of this. He talks about how the older women should be speaking to the younger women in the church. And it says the younger men should treat the older men as fathers, fathers who have a voice and should be able to speak into your life. And when that's going on, when all the teaching is not just going on up here, but it's happening at home and it's happening in the church family, then that's healthy. And not only then to share with those within the church family, but then to those in the world. The world is going to hell in a handbasket. There is a pandemic that is truly deadly. It has a 100% mortality rate. It's called sin. And you have a cure that actually works. The gospel. The hope of Jesus. And it says here, you ought to be teachers. The word ought is an obligation. You have an obligation to share. You need to share. This is not an option. You have a responsibility to share. Babies don't share. But mature people learn and grow in their sharing. Parents need to share. Deuteronomy 6, 4, and 7, and we appreciate the leadership of Moses for the children of Israel. But look at what it says in this passage. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words which I command you shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. Parents, grandparents, we have to be diligent to teach our children the Word of God. Teach them what it means to obey God. Teach them spiritual disciplines, because the world, the internet, entertainment, universities, they're diligent. They're diligent to teach nonsense and garbage. And so parents and grandparents, we have to be diligent about teaching our children spiritually and sharing. Babies don't want to share. They want to keep to themselves. They don't know how to serve others. But as they mature, they learn how. And Christians, we ought to be growing so that we can share with others. Amen? Fourth behavior, moving on here. Fourth behavior of a baby is that babies don't eat solid food. Look at the second half of verse 12 to the end of the chapter. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Now, we've already talked about food, right? The word of God and the relationship that a baby has with it. But we talked earlier about, what we were talking about was a baby's appetite. Now we're talking about a baby's diet. Not if he eats, but what he eats. And we all know in the physical realm, when a child is born, there's a period of time where a baby is on a milk-only diet. That's the only thing they can handle, and that's fine. The milk is sufficient to supply all the nutrition they need when they are that age. Nothing wrong with that. But there's something wrong if that baby never moves on from milk to solid food. And the same thing could be said spiritually. When you're a new believer, what you're really understanding is God's love and the gospel, and you're partaking of all that and the grace of God. And these things are all amazing, and all the basics of Christianity, and that's perfectly fine because we're growing. You know, sometimes at Calvary Chapels, people ask us, like, you know, why such an emphasis on the Word of God? Why is that such a vital part of the philosophy of ministry here? That's like asking why food is important for our physical life. Jesus said that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And we need a balanced diet. The other day, you know, and you ask this when you're getting to know people, right? It's like, hey, what's your favorite food? And the only right answer is sushi or steak. That's a good answer. But if the person said, I like baby food, it's like my favorite food, I'm like, dude, that's weird. Been getting discipled by Brent or something? Growing mature people eat solid food. And you know what solid food does? It makes you solid. And solidity matters. Look again at verse 14. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age. That is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Mature believers know what food to put in their mouth They know what not to put in their mouth, and they know right from wrong. They know the difference between good and evil. Babies don't know right from wrong. You can put a baby on the floor, and one of the things they'll do is they'll just kind of put anything in their mouth. They don't know the difference between food and something harmful. And spiritually, believers can be the same way. They hear something on YouTube and assume it's true. It must be true. They read something on social media and might assume it's biblical. Or they'll hear a celebrity or a politician or a professor or an influencer say something, and they might not stop to ask, like they should, does this line up with God's word? Is this true? But mature believers learn discernment. They know the difference between truth and error. They know how to separate the meat from the bone, so to speak. They know the difference between conviction and condemnation, between God's voice and the voice of culture. And the verse says, like the scripture says, how? It's by reason of use, by experience. Their senses have been trained. They've eaten from the buffet that the world offers and realizes sin's pleasures are temporary and fleeting. Everything that I've ever eaten from the world has just left me empty and broken, maybe satisfied for a short time, but left me wanting. But then when they drink from the living word and they obey, they know by experience, this is good food. This is where I need to be. This is what I need to follow and obey. And we live in a world today that calls evil good and good evil. And more important than ever, we need believers who know the difference, who are able to call out that difference, who are able to discern and warn against that difference. The meat of the Word of God matters. I think of Jesus when he talks about the two men, you know, one built his house on the rock, one built his house on the sand, and when the wind and the waves came, the one who built his house on the rock, it stood because he obeyed the words of Jesus. And some people think church should be more like waves than like a rock. Like solidity doesn't matter. How's that play out? Well, Pastor Brent preaches here unashamedly, doesn't he? He boldly, and I know because I listen he from time to time, he boldly talks about sin, culture, politics, Israel, end times, homosexuality. The list goes on. He'll just talk about it, and some might come and think, hey, why do we have to be so pointed about that? Why do we have such a solid stance about right and wrong and good and evil? Do we really need to call those things out clearly and speak truthfully about them? And why can't we just kind of be more about love? Love's important. God is love. But often when it's with that attitude, what people are talking about is sloppy agape. Y'all know what I'm talking about, right? Sloppy agape, just like, oh. It's not love to lie. It's not love to not tell the truth. Look at what Paul says to the Corinthian church. Now, this Corinthian church, we know it was filled with sexual immorality. Paul had to rebuke them for that. They were just kind of giving overemphasis to the spiritual gifts and practices and not doing things in an orderly manner. And this is what he says to them in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. And I, brethren, he's calling them brothers. He loves them. But he says, I could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it, and even now you're still not able. You know, I'm visiting here, and you might be thinking like, man, Pastor Marcus, like, you're visiting. Like, why are you giving such a rebuking message? Paul, speaking to the church at Corinth, was like, you guys are acting like a bunch of babies. And I know that's not true here. There's a lot of maturity in Christ here. And I get the sense that some of you know this. Many of you have come to this church because previous churches have neglected to feed the Word of God. And you're coming here and you're like, man, I can't even really put my finger on it, but there's something different about when a church decides to teach the Bible verse by verse. Yep. Why is that such a big deal? Well, it's almost like you're a plant and you're getting moved from a pot and you're taken out of that pot and you're planted in good ground where your roots are able to grow and fully mature. When a plant is planted in the ground, its roots are able to dig deep and mature and become fruitful, and it's all thanks to the Word of God and the Spirit of God at work in the church. And I know it's our desire. I know I can speak again for Pastor Brent here. It's the goal, desire, heart, realizing that all of us here, we're all in different places in our walks. Some of us are brand new in the Lord, and that's so awesome. Some are getting baptized today. What a celebration to enjoy together. New life in Christ. Some of us have been Christians for a really long time and have more understanding than others, and that's all right. That's the beauty of the body of the Christ. We're all growing. And so in every single message that what you would hear, it's the intention that you would have milk, meat, and manna. The milk is the simplicity so that you can understand it. And Pastor Brent does such a great job of this, breaking things down simply so you can hear it. And you're like, yeah, I get that. I totally relate to what he's saying, and I can identify with that. That makes sense to me. But then there's deeper parts in the Word where we get to, and that's the steak. We start kind of carving the Word of God for you. And we put it on your plate, and Pastor Brent starts saying words like Melchizedek and propitiation. I'm like, whoa, what's all that about? The great high priest and okay. And it's like, all right, this is for you. So we have a little bit more and dig a little bit deeper. And it's so awesome to dig deeper into the greater, into the things of God. And then there's not just the milk and not just the meat, but then there's the manna from heaven. It's the word that the Lord has for the church right now. And I'm sure you experience this sometimes. You're at church on Sunday and you're like, man, I really needed to hear that today. It's exactly what I needed to hear today. And it's because in that moment, the Holy Spirit's the one who's serving that up to you. And I know Pastor Brent would desire that as you're getting here, that you would get milk, meat, and manna in every message, and that this church would grow into maturity and be equipped for the work of the ministry. And that's why when you come here, I can say confidently, there's no games, there's no gimmicks, there's no hype, there's no place for that here. That's for other places. That's not for here. What we do here, if you're new and this is your first Sunday, what's going to happen here is the pastor's going to open up this Bible, and he's going to teach it to you faithfully. He wants you to understand what God's word means, and that's how you're going to grow and mature in your walk with the Lord, by studying God's word. And that's what makes us strong as believers. If you've been a Christian for a long time and you heard this message and you're like, oof, I do have some spiritual baby-like behavior. Listen, my goal is not that you would be discouraged. Nobody here's arrived. We're all growing. I'm growing in my faith. But let's not settle less than what God has for us. As I close this afternoon, I want to bring you back to where we started. Healthy things grow. That's true physically. That's true spiritually. And maybe as we've gone through these four baby behaviors, the Holy Spirit has put his finger on something in your life. Maybe you've just been really stubborn about something you really want. And you've been praying for something, and God is saying no. Or maybe, and he does this often too, God is saying slow, not right now. But instead of going, okay, Lord, I submit to you, I'm just going to be thankful and settle into what you're doing right now, you're just kind of pouting. May you learn, may we all learn to go, Lord, not my will be done, but your will be done. I'll obey you right now, today, and what you're doing in my life. Maybe you've become dull of hearing. You've been around maybe even for a long time, and you've just kind of lost this sense of awe of the truth of God's word. I pray that you would return back to your first love and love hearing from him again. That you would spend time every morning and just open the word and say, God, I'm going to read this until something bites me here. And I want you to speak to me, and I want to hear from you. Maybe you've stopped sharing your faith. Babies don't share. Maybe you've stopped sharing your faith. And it's like maybe at the beginning you shared your faith you ran into some hardships. Some people said, no, I don't want to hear from you. Listen, people rejected Jesus. Don't take failure in evangelism as like you weren't doing God's will. People are going to say no. So don't stop sharing. Keep sharing. Husbands, dads, parents, grandparents, you have this immense responsibility to share with the children that God's placed in your life. Maybe you've neglected the deeper things of God's word and you've settled for spiritual infancy when God is calling you to maturity. And listen carefully again, this passage is not one of condemnation. The writer of the book of Hebrews isn't trying to shame you, and that certainly wasn't my goal in visiting you either. As I prayerfully shared this and prepared and shared this message with you, my desire is that we would all in here be spurred on to what God has for us, because there's so much more available in Christ. And the wonderful news is, this is the great part, is that God is more committed to your growth than you are. I love this promise in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. Being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. He's going to complete it in you. So don't leave discouraged, leave challenged, leave encouraged, leave hungry. Ask the Lord to give you a fresh appetite for his word. Ask him to make you more obedient. Ask him to empower you by his spirit to be useful in helping others grow and sharing. Ask him to make you spiritually mature, because the world doesn't need more Christians who have merely sat in church for a long time. They need mature men and women who look like Jesus and can show them what he's like. And that's what God is producing in his people. My prayer is that Riverside Calvary Chapel would continually be filled with believers who are growing, maturing, and becoming more like Christ every day. Amen.